The following broadcast is a presentation of the Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. or visit us on the web at decaturfmc.org.
We've been going through the sermon series, Seven Words to Change Your Family. Week one, we talked about the importance of a blessing, of how we need to be blessed. Week two, we talked about forgiveness and how we need to forgive one another because, let's face it, especially in family today or in life in general, none of us are perfect. And each of us will probably make mistakes and do something that will need forgiveness. And we need to forgive and to be patient. And last week, we talked about a couple of things. We talked about the importance of honor and how we need to honor one another, honor your father and mother. But also, we talked about prayer, and we need prayer in the center of everything that we do. The word that we're going to tackle today is the word truth. We need to have a family that is built on truth. Many of us probably remember where we were on September 11th, 2001. It's hard to believe that it's been that long already. For me, I was a senior in college, and I was a senior RD or RC, which means I was over an entire building. And so I had three RAs that I was kind of looking over, and I had about 72 guys in my dorm that I was kind of looking over as well. And on that day, when I heard about the news, I was in an early morning class that I had to take that I really didn't want to take because it was so early. But that's when we found out about the news, and I had to go back and basically knock on every person's door because most of the kids or all the students were still sleeping, and so I woke them up to tell them about the news and to tell them about how classes are canceled and for us to be praying throughout the day. But that day, many innocent people lost their lives on that day. A very tragic day because group of men believed in a lie. A group of men believed, they sincerely believed, that if they would fly a plane into buildings and kill many people, that there was a reward for them. They would wake up in paradise. They would receive multiple beautiful women, and they would see the face of God. They died in this lie. A lie that they gave their life for. There are many families today that are flying out of control as well, because many families are basing their family off of a lie, off of something that is not truth. Sometime soon, these families will crash, and some of them never recover, because they are finding that their foundation is not on truth, but it's on a lie. So we might ask ourselves, what is truth? So many people are searching for truth today. What is truth? Pontius Pilate asked this same question in John chapter 18, verse 38, when he asked Jesus, "Who are you?" And Jesus said, "I am the truth." And Pontius Pilate then said, "But what is truth?" Maybe you are asking that same question today. What is truth? How do I know what truth is? The Bible points us in that direction and asks, or answers that question for us. John chapter 17:17 says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Psalm 86:11 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth." Psalm 119, 160 says, "The sum of your word is truth." So right there, three scripture that tells us what truth is. Truth is his word. His word is truth. I believe in the power of the word of the Bible. This Bible is truth. I believe that every word in it is truth. I believe that this power, or this book, is not just any other ordinary book, but it's a powerful book that deserves us to open it and to not just read it, but to study it and digest it. If you want to know what truth is, open these pages. And the truth of God will stand out. About a year ago, I went to visit a friend of mine, a young man who's in jail. And in talking with him, he said, "I just don't know what to believe anymore. I feel like I am surrounded by a bunch of people that are telling me things in here, and I don't know what truth is, and I don't know what a lie is." And I encouraged him. And on that day, I gave him a Bible, and I said, "This is your truth. And you need to, right now, you need to dig more and more into the truth. And you can't necessarily trust the people around you in this situation, but you can trust in the word of God, for that is your truth." And so for the next probably 5 months, we went through a Bible study together as he learned what truth is. He learned in the truth of Christ. His word is truth. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 24. This might be a story that some of you have heard before. Maybe some of you is hearing this for the first time. It's a story about two houses. One house is built on a firm foundation. The other house is not. Let's read this story together. These are the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." So here we have two houses, one storm, and two different outcomes. Notice, though, it's important to notice that both heard the words. They both heard the words of Jesus, but only one of them acted on it and put it into practice. They both heard the word. They both heard the words of Jesus, but only one acted on it. And here it says, a wise man who built his house on the rock. This word rock, the Greek word for rock, is the word Petra. Maybe some of you are like, "Oh yeah, the 80s rock band, right? Petra, Christian rock band." Well, yes, that was their name. But their name was a Greek word, Petra. This word Petra did not mean stone or rock. It meant word or truth. And so basically what this is saying is a man who built his house on truth. So it's telling us what we need to do to to build our home is to build our home on truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, we see this word Petra another time. And this word Petra helps us to understand even farther of what truth is. It says, they drank the spiritual rock, Petra, that accompanied them. And that rock, Petra, was Christ. So what is truth? It's Christ. So we need to build our home on the foundation of Christ. And there are too many families today that are not. They're building their homes on different foundations. They're building their homes on sand. And when the storms come, and when the wind blows, and when the rain comes pouring down in, we see over and over today how so many families are being destroyed because their foundation is not on Christ. Build your home on the rock. Build your home on Christ. Just this last week, Pastor Wick and I went over to Greenville, and there was a conference over there. And while we were at the conference, we went over to Greenville University. Now, it's still weird for me to call it that. But over at Greenville University, they had several pastors that donated some money for this rock that was put in the central of campus. And on this rock, on the side of it, just simply says Christ. Because they, what they want to do is every person that goes through Greenville University, they want to take them through this rock. And people might wonder, why is there a rock in the middle of campus? And they say, because this university is built on Christ. It's the same that goes for each and every one of our homes. Christ needs to be built in. He needs to be the foundation. And yet, so many homes today are built on lies. So many homes today are built on the sand that maybe say, well, our home is built on money. And we want to emphasize money, and we want our kids to make as much money as they can. Maybe some people today, some homes are built on sports. And they put all of their emphasis and all of their time and effort in sports. And our home is built on sports. Everything that they do, they eat and sleep sports, and everything is about sports. But that also is sand. There are so many homes today, maybe that are building their homes on education. And it's all about getting the best education and being the best in the top of your class. And all of these things are good things. But none of them are the foundation that a home is built on. Your home needs to be built on Christ. He has to be the center point of everything that you do. It's almost like if you can picture in your mind one of those old wooden wheels that you might see on a carriage. And on these old wooden wheels, it has this big wooden middle part. And then they have all these beams that kind of go off of it. And it's the same as a home, where a home should be like this, and Christ should be in that middle part. And if you would take that middle out of it, guess what would happen to the wheel? It would fall apart. And that's what happens to each and every one of the homes today that is not built on Christ. Christ needs to be the center of everything that we do. In 1992... Hurricane Andrew destroyed thousands of homes in South Florida. Actually, this last hurricane, Hurricane Irma, that went through said it was equivalent to Hurricane Andrew so long ago. But in 1992, at the worst spot, everything was destroyed except there was one home that was standing. And they went to this owner and they asked the owner, how and why is your home the only one standing? And his response kind of surprised me a little bit. He said, well, I built this house myself. And I also built it according to the Florida State Building Code. So when the code called for a 2x6 roof trusses, I used 2x6 roof trusses. I was told that a house built according to code could withstand a hurricane. And so that's what I did. And so what it tells us is there is a code for our family to stand firm no matter what storms come our way. Do you want a strong family? Do you want a family that is going to pass the test? Do you want a marriage that is going to make it to the finish line? Do you want kids who are going to rise up and call you blessed? There is only one code for that, and the code is Jesus Christ. He is our foundation. He is what we build everything around. And so, again, as we've been saying throughout this series, I don't care if you're a younger family with younger kids, or maybe you are older with kids that are grown up and out of the house and they have kids of their own. It's never too late to allow Christ to be the center of your house. And we pray this over our church as well. Remember the very first week I was here, I preached on our vision being Christ. And when our vision is not of Christ, guess what happens? We sink. When our foundation is not a foundation of Christ, guess what happens to the house? It sinks. But everything that is built on Christ stands and withstands and can withstand anything that goes your way. So how do you build a family on truth? The first thing is you need to be diligent. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. We need to be diligent about reading the Bible every night together with your spouse, with your kids, with your family. Show them the importance of Scripture. We need to be diligent to memorize Scripture together. The Bible says, hide my words in my heart that I might not sin against God. There's importance of memorizing Scripture. Do you notice that every time Jesus was tempted, he quoted Scripture? Why? Because he memorized it. He had it within his heart, and it came bubbling out of him. Help your kids to hide the truth in their hearts. And the second thing, so be diligent. The second thing that we need to do is we need to follow 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When we look at this, it says all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is powerful. And this is what Scripture will do. It is useful for teaching. We need to teach them. We need to teach our family. We need to teach one another. Not just His Word, but we need to teach them about Christ. So many people think, oh, well, we're just going to take our family to church and then that pastor will teach them and that pastor can be the teacher. Do you know that each and every one of you are ministers? And the number one place where you start your ministry is in your own home. You are the teacher. Because if you just have Christ in your home for 1 hour out of the week, it's not enough. So we need to teach them the word. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting. We need to rebuke and correct them. We need to guide them and show them what Jesus and his way is all about. If they are not doing what God wants us to do, we need to rebuke and correct them with love and grace. Rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We need to train them. The best way to train them is by showing them, by living it out yourself. And by practice, practice, practice. All those athletes, they have to practice all the time. When they train. So here, as we end, here are just several things that we can do together. Maybe you and your spouse, maybe you with your grandkids or with your kids, wherever you are, these are some things that you can do in your home to make sure that you are building a strong family together. Number one, turn off the TV and start a regular time of family Bible reading and prayer every day. The first part is so important. Just turn off the TV at times. And spend time together. So many times, and I grew up in a household that it seems like everything that we did was centralized on the TV and what was on the TV. And we need to turn off the TV. And we need to spend time with one another and spend time in His Word. Another thing that you can do is memorize portions of God's Word as a family. We do that here as a church together. There's importance of memorizing His Word. Maybe a fun thing that you can do if you have smaller kids or smaller grandkids, have a contest to learn the books of the Bible. And maybe if your kids or if your grandkids will learn the books of the Bible together, then you celebrate with them and you invite them to take them out on a one-on-one or something and you take them to Dairy Queen. I just say Dairy Queen because it's Peyton's birthday today, and he said, after my birthday, I want to go to Dairy Queen, Dad. Guess where we're going today? McDonald's. No, I'm kidding. going to Dairy Queen. Another tip that you can do to build strong families is read through the Bible together in a year, maybe with your spouse. Or maybe if you have a family or if you have younger kids, there are some really good kids' Bibles that are out there that every day, this is what we did for many years, every day we would go through and we would read a story and go through the entire Bible together, reading the story, the biblical stories to our kids. The next thing that you could do is make family decisions based on Scripture. Not based on what you want, but based on what God wants. Based on what the Scripture is telling us to do. Maybe you can attend a Bible study or a class with your spouse together. We have several of those options for you to attend. Many of you guys are already doing that. And lastly, maybe you can choose family values and post them at home. Of what you want your family to be, what you want your family to stand on, all of them based on Scripture together. There's a plaque in our house. Actually, I think someone gave it to us, and it has 7 or 8 different things on it. These are things that we want our family to live by. And everyone has about 3 or 4 scriptures after each and every one of them. And we spent probably 2 months of going through each and every one of these things for our family devotion a couple of years ago. It's important to make family values based on Scripture. So no matter where you are in life, make sure Christ is the center of it. If Christ is not the center of your life, things are going to fall apart. And when storms come, and the Bible tells us that storms will come, and the winds will blow, But if you have Jesus as the center, it's going to stay together. Build your house on truth. Build your house on his word. There's nothing more important than that. And I know maybe you said, well, I know all this. None of this is new to me. And it shouldn't be. But I think we just need that reminder, because so often we just go throughout our lives and we forget about it. Or other things distract us. And sometimes we need to get back on the straight and narrow. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. There's only one true rock to build our house upon, to build this church upon, and that is of Jesus. And no matter what happens, when we are built on Jesus, nothing will destroy us. So I'm going to invite Pastor Wick to come. He's going to lead us in a closing song together, as we're going to sing a song together.